Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 169. We're recording this on Sunday, March 4th, Oscars night. So we're all
Oscars.
Clearly, we're not watching the Oscars. We're recording. Yeah. Although, you know, Tim, I thought of you early, right before we started recording tonight. I had it on. I just turned it off, and I heard that hack movie got an Oscar. I don't know what it was for, but you know, Dunker,
a hack movie.
Dunker got an Oscar.
Dunker.
Oh. Haters gonna hate.
Sorry,
hate,
this
hate,
is after our discussions a year ago, and I just don't like the movie.
I was glad to see though that Darkest Hour had already gotten one.
I didn't see that. Yeah,
yeah, for hair and makeup.
Okay, nice.
Basically, it was for the conversion of Gary Oldman to Churchill, which was
pretty incredible. Amazing. So. Yeah, I don't know if you saw this earlier too during the pre-game, whatever the you know before the opening ceremony thing.
Pre-game.
Yeah, they were doing
definitely like, pre-game. Well,
there's guys out there tailgating. I saw the guy with the keg. You know, no. but I guess Gary Oldman's wife had shot a video of him dancing to James Brown in the full costume makeup for.
Oh, that's great!
I was like, that is amazing. It was just him doing the whole.
I gotta find that.
You gotta find it. It was pretty fun. Well, before we get too far along, I might as well introduce us to the people you're hearing talk with me here. We have Tim and Lizzie, normally, that are with me. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing pretty darn well.
Did you survive that snow you had this weekend?
We got some snow. We got about just shy of a foot and a half of really wet, heavy stuff. And
I got nothing
but rain. We survived mostly unscathed. I have a little bit of tree damage in the backyard that... Once the snow melts and I can get back there to be effective with it, I'll take care of it. But
there you go.
Yeah.
We got absolutely no snow at all out of that here in Connecticut. Nothing. We got heavy rain and some pretty good winds. A lot of people without power for a better part of a day or a weekend. I, knock on wood, survived everything. Didn't get any damage at all. But yeah, I was bummed. I wanted a good blast of snow. But sadly, no.
Why?
Lizzie, did you get any snow down there, Lizzie? No.
Yes, so much snow, guys. I can't even walk outside. There's so much snow in Florida. But actually, P.S., Friday and Saturday, I spent the weekend in Indiana, but we didn't get any snow there either.
Oh.
I was literally in Indiana for 24 hours.
Yeah, 24 it's hours. Amazing that Indiana, like, you would think they would get more snow than they do, and they generally don't. I have both... an aunt and an uncle that live around Indianapolis, and I talked to them and I visited them in the dead of winter, and there's like no snow. It's amazing.
That's weird.
There was a lot of flooding. Actually, a lot of the crops got flooded out, and we were taking a little tour of my best friend's town, and you could see just all the flooding happening in there, which is never good. But literally there for 24 hours visiting my two best friends. We took my friend out for her birthday, got tattoos, ate some cupcakes, had a great dinner. I played with my nieces and nephews, and then I was like, bye.
There you go.
Oh, was that picture on Instagram new tattoos?
That was literally real time. What happened on Friday night? Like, cool. That was real time. I guess I should start telling you guys when it's real time, because I know my Instagram's not always very clear.
I thought that maybe you and your girlfriends getting together again and you all had tattoos from before. I didn't realize that was that weekend.
No, they were brand spanking new. This is why you should watch my story, Lou. Then you'll know about my whole life.
I'm sorry. I should watch your story. was that a planned thing or was it spur of the moment?
It was planned, but my one best friend who lives in Indiana didn't know that I was flying up. My other friend was already planned to go.
I thought you were going to say she knew she was getting a tattoo.
She didn't know she was getting a tattoo either. She didn't know any of it was happening. I mean, we had discussed that tattoo a year ago. It's three triangles, and each of us are one of the triangles, and we have our triangle filled in. So she's the one in the middle. My friend Christine is the top triangle, and I'm the bottom triangle.
Nice.
Which
that's cool.
Our tattoo artist Flip like was chuckling at and thought it was very funny. I was like, that doesn't mean what you think it means. I don't think that word doesn't mean what you think it means. Princess Bride. See, I can play that game when I come up with the rules and the quotes.
That's right.
Oh boy.
So there you go.
So there are lots of big things happening on the network. Some of them will be apparent quickly. Some of them may take a little bit to come to fruition, but a bunch of good stuff. Now, Tim, you've got a new podcast starting up, right?
Yeah. Tom and I recorded Dispatches from the Front, which is our Band of Brothers episodic review podcast. We recorded our introductory episode, episode zero, last weekend. But we're actually just dealing with some of the details of like our art, our logo for the show and that kind of stuff. And so that should be going up pretty soon out to the public, out in the airwaves.
Awesome.
We don't really use airwaves.
We use the internet.
Yeah. We use the internet.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was a lot of fun, and we are looking forward to jumping into the episodes of that. Awesome. We also did last week, we had a lot of fun. We did our random movie quotes, the game show.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about that.
Me neither.
We're not going to talk about the results of it because
I am totally embarrassed by my last answer. I am just want to say I was in a different place. I was thinking of something totally different. I put my own movie quote in my head and I went, yeah, that's it. No, that's not what Tim said. Oh God, darn it.
Lou, I was embarrassed too. We both could be.
We had a real good time doing that.
A Star Wars show, for Christ's sakes.
Which
I have a Star Wars tattoo, for Christ's sake. Come on.
Then that's on you, man.
I was just really thrilled with how that turned out. And I'm glad that all you guys had a lot of fun with it because it was just kind of fun. This little brainchild that I had over the previous weekend and put it together like in the matter of a couple of hours. And I'm just really glad that it worked out and we had fun. So I think it's something that we are definitely going to do again.
Nice.
It's really one of those great kind of get all the hosts together, or at least as many of them as we can, and just, kind of have some fun for a little while.
Well, I'll say this too, Tim. I'm getting ready to one-up you too now.
Are you?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I've been looking for some software. I found some stuff might work out. I'm trying to make a Jeopardy thing work.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah,
oh,
so nice. I got to see if it'll work, but I'm hoping it's going to be a cool thing, so...
That is
I always
awesome.
Like when we all get together. It's like when it the family can get together.
It is a lot of fun.
I think we
argue like families at Thanksgiving and,
Yes, yes. We are, and we fight, and we definitely fight.
And it's, and the game show thing is fun for us. And I definitely do hope that it's fun for listeners. I know that, and, other podcasts that I listen to, if they do some kind of quiz thing or game show thing, it is fun to listen to because if you know the answer, you're there kind of shouting at your phone, while you're listening to this thing, willing the host that you're listening to get the right answer. So you can kind of unofficially play along as a listener. So it really is a lot of fun.
I already got a lot of feedback of people screaming at their phones when I couldn't get a couple answers that I definitely should have gotten, you guys. I definitely should have gotten them.
Yeah. So
it's not okay.
The Random Movie Quotes has gone out to our Patreon donors and it's been released on Discord. It will be going out to the public within the next couple of days. So probably somewhere around about that this episode of Random Chatter gets posted. It is going to be going out on the Random Chatter Network feed, so everyone will be getting it. And yeah, I mean, just let us know that you enjoyed it, or if you didn't. If you didn't enjoy it, let us know that too. We want to know why, but so far the feedback has been pretty overwhelming for it. We also do have coming up, as folks have come to expect from Random Chatter on a quarterly basis, our spring movie draft.
Yeah.
And as we have recently instituted, it is the winner of two movie drafts previous, because we can't necessarily call a winner from the previous movie draft because we have kind of that buffer of the continued box office results coming in. But the winner of the fall movie draft was in fact, yes, it was Miss Elizabeth, with much thanks to, what's the movie? Jumanji.
You mean much thanks to my good sense and savvy betting? That's what you meant to say.
And Jumanji was still, I didn't put it in our show notes, but Jumanji is still like seventh or eighth.
Oh, yeah.
In the box office take.
Still dominating.
It's absolutely incredible. So, yeah, so Lizzie will be hosting. We have not yet set a recording date for it, but obviously it will be sometime this March because the next film season starts April 1. So we will be on that hopefully in the next couple of weeks, and we will get that out to your earbuds as well.
Yay!
Nice. I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm looking forward to being the first three-time winner of Movie Jar. Just saying. Before we get into the news this week and the box office stuff, what have you been watching this week, boys and girls?
Lizzie?
I am continuing on my road to Infinity War. This week I watched Iron Man 2 and Hulk. Oh, no, 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 no. Nope, sorry. Iron Man 2 and Thor.
She doesn't know what she's watching.
I don't even know where I am in my road, which we will talk about in a moment about how my whole life imploded on the other day. We'll get there. But yeah, I watched Iron Man 2 and Thor. Iron Man 2 is still on the bottom of my totem pole. I can't. That movie has so many problems, and you know how much I love Marvel, and I can say that it's got major issues. But, anyways, I'm really excited to keep on going. My first article for the Marvel Report went up, which has my whole like two ways to watch it, either chronological or release date order. It's a website, the Marvel Report, if you want to check it out. And if you want to start, it's based on an 8-week schedule, which is how far away we are from Infinity War. So, and then the other shows that I watch regularly are Scandal, Will and Grace, and When Calls the Heart. So I'm just catching up on those.
When Calls the Heart. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one that I said you guys would love.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
And I feel like I watched something else and I literally can't remember it. And I'm sure it'll come to me when Tim's talking and I can interrupt him. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. I save one for when Tim's talking. That's what I always do.
She's got to interrupt somebody all the time, right, Tim?
That's my thing.
I'm down with that. That's okay. We all have those little brain aneurysm thingies that compel us to jump in with something that just pops into our head. So that's okay. I do it all the time.
Brain aneurysm. That's a bit strong.
Probably. I have been, now that the Olympics are over, I've kind of started to get back to my regular viewing schedule with things, both for myself and my family. A lot of the shows went on hiatus anyway, due to the Olympics. So they're really just restarting and we didn't really miss anything. But let's see, I've caught up so far on SWAT, which had a great episode, SHIELD, which had an incredible episode, and I'm so happy that they're back on Earth. And Gotham had
spoilers.
Really, spoilers, yeah. What if I'm not caught up to date?
Whoa!
Everyone knew they were going to be back on Earth.
Whoa!
That's what they ended with.
I'm like two seasons behind, man.
Then you don't even have any context for what we're talking about.
I'm only an episode behind, but you know, hey Tim, thanks.
When I start watching, I'm going to have that in my mind, and it's going to ruin it.
That's right.
I blame you.
And then Gotham, who has another new Poison Ivy. Which I didn't actually know about until we started watching the episode, and they had this kind of weird cocoon thing that Ivy was in, and then she comes out of it, and so now there's a new actress who's playing Ivy, and they're kind of going with a darker direction for Ivy. So it really seems that they're trying to capitalize a little bit more on that character and her potential. So yeah, they're going darker and deeper with it.
I'm so glad that you're up in that show.
Let's see. Of course, you know, watching Band of Brothers for Dispatches from the Front, watched Kurahi again, which is the first episode of Band of Brothers. So getting ready for Tom and I to do that episode. I also just watched Pacific Rim because that is going to be the next episode that Liz and I do of Movie Rampage.
Are you doing that one and the next one right afterward?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That is the strategy.
But back up a minute, Tim, question for you. If we wanted to follow along with Band of Brothers, should we watch the episode before we listen to your podcast, or should we listen to the podcast and then watch the episode?
I would watch the episode first and then listen to the podcast. I think that'll put things in a little bit better context. And we're really going to be talking about the events that occur within the episode. So
okay.
it would obviously be spoilery if you listen to us first and watch the episode. I mean, I guess it could be insightful, but I would rather, my recommendation would be for folks to watch the episode and enjoy it, get their enjoyment out of it, and then listen to us kind of dissect things in it. Awesome. Who's laughing? He has
I'm sorry. You said something about you being insightful, and I almost bust out laughing. I just, sorry. It just wow. came to mean. Me. I know. I didn't mean it that way. It struck me
Lou's
as funny.
Lou's a mean girl. Lou is a mean girl.
He is. I'm being bullied, and I need to call HR.
I had a rough night. Just go with it, will you?
There's no HR.
And then I'm looking forward to Voltron season 5 has dropped, I believe.
Oh, Lord.
And I'm so I got to start watching that. And then Jessica Jones season 2 comes out within days. Like
yeah. Yes.
Yes. March 8th. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Not wait.
So there's so much. There's so much to consume out there right now. If people say that they are bored with what is out there to consume, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
Honestly don't know what to tell you.
There's almost too much. I mean, I can't keep up with the stuff I want to watch, let alone all the stuff that I probably should watch just to catch up on it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say about you, Tim. My DVR is approaching halfway full point just because of all the stuff that was recording while the Olympics were going on. And I guess I watch a lot of stuff that's not on NBC because a lot of my shows didn't take a hiatus, Tim. I had backlog of stuff. So I'm getting caught up on DC Universe comic book character stuff. I'm getting caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which Tim just ruined.
I know. I guess I'll have to watch the next episode. I'm all set.
Ruined.
Yep. And, you know, in to that point, Tim, I'm looking forward to podcasting with you on another show next week. We're going to be recording the 100th episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files with Jay and Josh.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. So I definitely got to be caught up.
Yeah, so that to that point, the three of us at some point are going to have to figure out when we're going to record the next episode of Random Chatter, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, we're going to be recording that next Sunday night.
Rude. Which is,
yeah,
sorry, Lizzie.
Sunday nights are when we record Random Chatter. So Lou and I are going to be guesting on Case Files to talk about the 100th episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So our release for the next episode of Random Chatter, 170, is probably going to be off by a day or two, depending on when we end up getting together to record this. So just to let folks know.
Very good. Otherwise, the only thing I've been doing is I've been studying my rewatch of The Expanse. The Expanse is going to be released season 3 starting April 11th, so I've got a little bit of time to catch up on seasons 1 and 2 again to get that back in my mind. I run into the problem of I just finished book 7 or 8 from the Expanse series, and the TV series is covering like book 3 or 2 right now. It's like, wait a minute, what happened? what didn't happen? What am I not supposed to know about yet?
Yeah,
you got to back and rewatch that and just get caught up on it, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Season 3 should be awesome. If you're not watching The Expanse, I urge you go out and start watching it because it's an amazing show.
I really need to. It's something I'm not watching.
Oh, my
and you
God.
Guys have been...
You haven't seen it?
No.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Either? Oh, you guys are dead to me.
And you guys have been talking about it for so long, and it is one of those things I need to get into. Also, I mean, the big thing, and I know this is not our Star Wars podcast, but tomorrow night is the finale of Rebels. Rebels will be done.
I know.
This is 3 episodes tied together, an hour and a half solid of Rebels. We are going to find out the fate of all of our heroes, and I don't know. I'm ready to cry now, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to get emotional about this.
Yeah.
This is going to be a big challenge. So for folks, because you will probably hear this will be releasing before our next episode of Echo Base does. We're actually going to be postponing our recording of Echo Base, which we usually do on Monday nights. We're going to do that instead on Tuesday night because, as we have done for the last 2 weeks, we don't want to be recording Echo Base
while the show is on, right?
Yeah, while the finale of the show is on. So we're all going to watch the finale and take a day to digest it. And then Tuesday night, Lou and Eric and I, and we're also going to have a guest solely because I'm staying at his house, John. We will be
so if one of the hosts of a show stays at someone's house, they automatically get to be a guest on that show. Is that what the deal is?
That was pretty much it. Yeah, that's pretty much how that worked out. So John will also be joining us to basically be reviewing the finale of Rebels. And I'm ready to cry. I'm not ready for it. It just seems that it's too soon. And there's so much to take care of. How in the world can they resolve all these things?
They're not going to be able to. There's a lot we're going to left up in the air. We're all going to be scratching our heads going, oh, but what happened to that? Yeah. It seems to me that they waited. They had that hiatus and they came back and they're like, oh, we're going to do double episodes now for 3 weeks and then triple episodes.
I'm
like,
fire.
So, but it's nice we're getting this all at once, but it feels like it's coming to an end too soon, way too quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah, not happy about that at all, but I'll be happy to see the finale.
Watched it yet because I'm waiting for it to end so that I can just not have this waiting game happen. That's not going to work for me. I need the whole thing available so I can watch the whole thing. I'm going to finish Clone Wars, then go straight into Rebels and do a full watch of the whole series.
So you haven't seen any Rebels at all?
I have seen season one. And then after, because I don't have Disney... I had it for a time and I watched what I could, and then I don't have Disney. So I was like, well, I'm going to wait. I want to wait till the end. I'm going to watch the whole thing. So I have avoided all spoilers. I don't know where we're at. I know essentially a couple things that obviously have to go down given the givens, but, so as soon as it's over, I'm going to, go for it.
Well, I envy you if you can watch Rebels when it's available to stream, like binge watch it. That would be the way to do it.
Yes.
I'm jealous.
That's it's actually what I do with a lot of shows is I wait till they end. Now I used to be like, I have to watch them as they go along. There are very few shows that I do that with. Like I said, the three right now are just One Calls a Heart, Scandal, and Will and Grace, because they don't, as much as I like all three of those shows, I'm not so wholly invested that I'm like, I need to know tomorrow. And that one, I know Rebels would like, I just know. No. I need to know it. I need to see the whole thing and just cry.
You know, that's what Tim and I are waiting for, too. We're waiting for When Calls the Heart to end. So we can just binge watch it all once.
Exactly.
Right, Tim? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I knew you wouldn't want the suspense of like, you know, is Jack going to come back? Is he not? You know.
Wait, Jack left?
I know. Spoiler.
Oh, God, now I don't want to watch it. That you ruined it for me. Ruined it. I can't watch it anymore.
The tough part, though, in Rebels is when Vader dies. I mean, that was like that was a huge surprise. I didn't even see that coming.
Yeah, it's crazy that he dies in that because that's impossible.
Well, they put somebody else in the suit. That's the thing. It's, you know, different guy, different Vader. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Sorry.
Hashtag not my Vader.
Huge plot twist. Huge plot twist. It's actually a porg. Or a bunch of them, they stand on top of each other.
Oh, Lord, that's a bad image.
Don't we have a show to record? What are we doing?
We're going to the box office updates now, since we're all done with our banter in 25 minutes in. Anyway, this week at the box office, Black Panther rules again.
Shocking, not.
I know, $65.7 million in its third week, bringing its total to $501 million domestically. This is actually the third fastest film to hit $500 million.
I love that so much.
That's not bad. You know, third, you know, tied with Jurassic Park.
I love it, and I'm not surprised.
There's nothing else to say about it. It's just, it's a juggernaut.
Yeah,
Did you see, was it, must have been the Olympics, Jimmy Fallon had a thing with Chadwick Boseman? on.
Oh, yeah, where people told people them what Wakanda meant to them.
Exactly. They were talking to a poster, and then he'd poke his head around when they were done with their thing, and they'd flip out. But I thought the funniest part of the whole thing was when he pokes his head out, they're all just falling in love with themselves for Chadwick Boseman. And then Jimmy Fallon comes out, and the people are like, oh, hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know. That's the best part. Like, because
what's going on here?
Yeah, because it's not about him, and it's that they're no one cares about you right now.
The funniest one was the guy at the end. He said, yeah, I've seen it twice. I saw it, and I saw the bootleg, too. And he's going, you bootlegged my movie?
That was awesome.
It was funny. Yeah. It was really good.
Those were all wonderful. It made me so happy to watch.
Great responses and great feedback from viewers, which that was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's also indication of why this is so important, why it's so powerful, why it's doing this sort of juggernaut thing that it's doing, and why I was not surprised in the least by it. But just because it's more than just a movie. It is like a movement, and it's a movement in the right direction. And I just love it. I'm obsessed.
Definitely. So rounding out our top five, Red Sparrow in its first week took in $17 million. Death Wish took in $13 million in its first week. Game Night in its second week took in another $10 million for $33 million, and Peter Rabbit rounded out the top five with $10 million for $84 million total in 4 weeks.
Has anyone heard good things about Red Sparrow?
I haven't heard anything about it at all, so.
I mean, $17 million isn't not really.
But I mean, look what's up again. So, I mean,
I get it.
If Black Panther wasn't there, would it have done 25 or 30? I don't know.
No.
Yeah. It's 17 isn't bad. It's respectable.
It's fine.
What it is. Yeah. It's, I think it's definitely going to make its money. I don't think it's a big, special effects film or anything like that. So I think really, Jennifer Lawrence is their biggest investment in that movie.
Right.
I do want to see the movie. I'm very excited about the movie. I haven't really heard anything extraordinarily up or down about it. Unlike Death Wish, which has gotten horrifically torn apart by everyone.
But that would be expected, though. I mean, nobody thought that was going to do well.
Yeah.
I mean, why he even signed on for that movie is beyond me.
From what I've heard about Death Wish is that this movie apparently has been in the making for like 20 years. And Schwarzenegger was involved in it at one point. Then it went to some other action hero, then another one and another one. And it tossed around directors and all sorts of stuff. And it just kind of kept going up and down and kicked down. It was a can getting kicked down the street.
Yeah, which means that's never going to do well. I mean, that's just for disaster.
And then for some reason, Bruce Willis decided it was going to be a good idea. Yeah, I guess maybe he has nothing going on.
But maybe, yeah. Hey, I'll make a movie with you. I had nothing to do.
Yeah.
Red Sparrow on Rotten Tomatoes is a 50% tomato meter and a 57% audience score. So, it ain't doing all that well.
No. And I think Death Wish is like really bad. It's like a 17 or something.
I think it was 15, I think. Yeah, Death Wish is 15.
Wow.
15% tomato meter, but 85% audience score. So that's interesting. Wow.
Weird.
I imagine the movie's probably a good popcorn flick. Action killing.
I imagine it's not.
I mean, popcorn flicks to me are a different thing. It's just, hey, I'm going to enjoy, action and some killing, and that's about
it. You don't
really
have to think about it. Exactly. Yeah, you can just kind of hang out and watch.
I'm not looking to come out of that
and
with the story. I'm just looking to come out of that with some action.
I get it, but you still want it to be like respectably decent. The trailer looks straight up stupid. I was like, what?
Yep.
Why this thing? Why? Well,
and the thing is that the plot of it. I mean, the main plot of Death Wish is the plot of the original movie. It is a total rehash, but it's the same trope that you see in every third action movie that comes out there.
Right.
Someone wronged someone's family and now we're going to go out and get revenge.
Also the trailer,
And this is just,
I can swing one of Lou's dead cats and hit 20 movies for the past
year. I don't have any dead cats.
I have the dead cat.
Aw.
She admitted it, Tim.
Just died. So, I mean, if anyone has a cat that died, it's me.
Wow. Ouch. I'm going to get hate mail now, aren't I?
That's just probably true.
After being an insensitive Tim at randomchatter.com.
Oh. Still grieving, and Tim says, swing your dead cat around. Just kidding. No, I mean, like, there was, like, the way they portrayed Bruce Willis's character, there becomes a point for me, it's tough, and sometimes hard for me to, like, separate that, but, like, with a character, a person who's such a character like Bruce Willis is, like, playing him off as, like, the guy who has to figure out how to be a badass, like, no. For every person who's seen every Die Hard movie, you're like, Bruce Willis has to figure out how to, like, take back the night? No. No, like, I don't know. I just was watching the beginning of the trailer, and I was like, what? This is not. We all know Bruce Willis can kill that guy with his pinky finger. Like, in real life.
Has John McClane not learned anything from all the movies he's done?
I know. That was the thought that went through my head as I was watching the trailer. And yeah, of course, you have to separate. I get it. But I just was like, I'm not buying this for him. For his life.
So let's see. Next week coming up, we have The Hurricane Heist and A Wrinkle in Time.
So what is that?
It's a heist movie that takes place in the middle of a hurricane. It looks like one of the dumbest movies ever seen in the history of ever.
The description you gave was dumb.
This actually got made, though. Remember, this got made. Somebody said, hey, let's do this. And somebody said, hey, that's a good idea. Yeah, no.
Oh, wait. Is this the one with, like, no famous people that the trailer looks so weird?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to look it up. Now my question is for you guys is how will Oprah do against Wakanda?
Wrinkle in Time is going to do really good.
Is it going to dethrone Black Panther?
No,
I don't think so, but it's going to do really well. It's going to do really well.
Yeah, it's going to do well, but no, Black Panther, I would say next week is going to pull 45 million maybe.
Oh, then yeah, it will, because it's going to make like 100.
I think Wrinkle in Time will probably pull 35. I think it'll be a close second, but it's not going to beat Black Panther next week.
What are you talking about, 35?
I think it'll be Black Panther. I think
it's going to do 100.
You really think so?
If it's going to do 100, it's going to definitely take out Black Panther then.
Yeah, I do.
But you just said it wasn't going to beat Black Panther.
Yeah, I did not think through what I said.
See, I don't think it will.
Wrong.
You really don't think Black Panther has the staying power that Jumanji had?
I think it's already at 65 this week.
And I will tell you, if Black Panther does get knocked down to second place next week by Wrinkle in Time, it will go back to first place the week after.
Oh, it might. It might do Jumanji agreed. And do that. But
agreed.
It's going to drop down again.
Although, actually, the week after that, I think, is Tomb Raider and then Pacific Rim and Ready Player One come out the last weekend of the month.
Black Panther beats Tomb Raider, by the way.
I don't know.
Yeah, it does.
That would be in its fifth week. That would be tough.
Some tough stuff coming up here.
Mm-hmm. That would be tough. Black Panther in its fifth week is going to be pulling, it'll be lucky to pull 30 million.
Yeah, I mean, I think next week Black Panther does 45.
I don't know the Wrinkle in Time is going to, I don't think it's going to pull 100, Lizzie.
Wrong.
No, I don't think it's got it in it.
It's okay to be wrong.
And it's fun. I may very well be wrong. And we can, this is in fact being recorded, not only for posterity, but for public consumption. And people can come back and tell me that I'm wrong.
Evidence.
So moving along, the Hurricane Heist has nobody in it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that, and it doesn't even look like a real movie trailer. Like Toby, I saw the
Toby Kebbell, Maggie Grace.
Yes. This is the one I saw. Yeah. I saw it in the theater for, I don't think it was Black Panther or something else. Maybe it was Black Panther. I was like, what is this fake movie trailer that like Regal made? And then it was like a real movie and everybody was like, what is that?
Such a dumbass movie.
But the trailer looks fake.
Okay, now this is interesting. It's funny because I'm trying to pitch it in place the whole Maggie Grace thing.
How'd she get roped into that thing?
Yeah. but I'm looking through her blurb when you first bring her up says, most recently Maggie starred opposite Toby Kebbell in Category 5 out in January. I'm like, okay, so it's coming out in March and I renamed it Hurricane Heist because it wasn't called Category 5. I'm like, or do they do another movie similarly about a hurricane in January that I missed?
I give up.
This is part of a series of horrible hurricane movies that we've been waiting for. Not.
Oh, Lord. Who's been waiting for?
I said not. Tim's been waiting for the hurricane trilogy.
No.
Okay, now I did not get a chance to do an update for the movie draft, so we'll have to wait until next week to see those. I don't think Eric
did yet. Liz is winning.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
True.
I want a recount for the Fantasy Movie League because I was in second this morning and I'm in like seventh now. Although one thing I'm very happy about with the movie draft is they have updated it now where they're not doing just a whole 52 weeks.
They're doing seasons.
Periodic seasons throughout the year. So we just had a 10-week season that ended. We're in the middle of a 13-week season now or starting a 13-week season now.
Who won the last season though, Lou? You know,
I don't know. You can't see the results anymore because they're history and it's gone. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no, you can see them.
Why look back when you can look forward? Just the next one is what we want to focus on.
Really?
Yeah. Why did you win, Tim?
Yeah.
well, you beat me by a lot because you had like 3 or 4 more weeks than I did playing. So.
He was making a very suspicious I won face. So
listen, he's got to get those faces out there when he can
because he doesn't have an all that often. People
joined at different times.
Like basically never otherwise than that.
Liz is still talking. I don't know why she's still talking.
Oh boy. Well, let's move right along into the news since we're already a half hour in here or 40 minutes in. Let's see. Infinity War release date has moved up.
You guys. You guys.
What?
Liz has something to say about this.
You guys.
Liz, what's the matter?
I watched this go down in real time. I saw the whole tweet with Robert Downey Jr. Marvel Studios where he's like, hey, can I go earlier? Which was brilliant marketing and wonderful. And I thought it was like, ha ha ha, oh, Robert Downey just wanting it. And then they put the poster up and I was like, holy what?
Yeah.
I mean, what? I mean, as much as I want to see it a week earlier, I have my entire 2 months planned out as a lead up to this movie.
When I saw this, this is the first thing I thought. I was like, oh, poor Lizzie. Oh, no.
I was like, not only am I writing an article for the Marvel Report based on a 9-week viewing schedule that I had to then change my entire, like, I made 2 infographics and I had to like remake everything. I had to also adjust my personal viewing schedule, of which there's already a saved tweet. So like it's already out there. And then I'm starting my fitness series tomorrow based on the Infinity War and the Infinity Gauntlet and each stone, and which leads right up to May 4th. I was like, you're killing me.
Oh boy.
But I was also equally like, yes, I want to see it sooner. But I was also like, in my article for the Marvel Report, I did my GIF reactions. And then one of them was Snow White singing in the field when her head just explodes, which is the most accurate I can describe how I felt. I'm going to share it. I'm going to share it with you. The Snow White head exploding. Basically, any GIF of a princess's head exploding is how I felt.
So aside from the impact that this had on Liz's various schedules,
personal impact,
which I'm sure actually was probably a primary consideration of Disney's when they made this change.
Maybe.
Yeah. Someone was like, why didn't they call and ask you first?
they really should have. I thought it was kind of inconsiderate of them not to.
It's really rude is what it is.
There's nothing out there, at least as far as I know, that says definitively why they move this up. And of course, it's really strange
there
for
is.
Oh, is there?
Why?
Yeah, wait. It's so that they can have worldwide release on the same day, because it was releasing internationally on the 27th and then domestically on the 4th. But they didn't want to worry about spoilers, so they bumped it up so that they could have worldwide release on the same day.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Why would they have not made the U.S. release?
Right.
At least usually it's the other way around. Okay, we get it first because we're a bigger audience, and maybe someone sees it a week later. Why would they have originally scheduled that so we don't get it? That would be just a disaster for them as far as spoilers and you know, bootlegs and everything else.
Well, that's what everybody was saying before they actually made the, like, said that that was, they confirmed that that was why. Everybody was like, they're probably worried about spoilers when they looked at the release date. So.
Because Twitter would have had like its slowest week ever, because everyone would have just like unplugged from Twitter for a week.
Right.
Right. Right. So that is why they did.
Up a week, please.
There was some speculation early on when this first happened that they wanted to get some distance between Infinity War and Deadpool, and Infinity War and Solo, which certainly does make sense. Even though they do at least Solo, even though they do at least own that, but still.
They're not worried about that.
I think they probably are, but not as much. I definitely agree that the timing with the international release makes the most amount of sense. That is definitely a legitimate reason
It's a good cover for it. So
right.
It's so odd for a blockbuster film like this to get moved up this late in the game.
Yeah, that was my thought.
That's just a strange thing. I mean, if they were to say, even this late in the game, if they were to say, hey, we're going to delay it by a week or 3 weeks or whatever, all right, I'd be bummed out about it. But that would be something that would be a little more expected. But for them to say, hey, here's a gift, you're going to get it a week earlier, it's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You don't expect that. So I'm really excited about it. I think it's great that it's going to come out a week earlier. And, hey, we get to enjoy it that much more.
And the way that they released it is so whimsical, and like them, where Marvel's calling him Mr. Stark. Yeah, of course, Mr. Brilliant. Stark. Like,
right.
I mean, if anyone knows how to market, it's Marvel, and they're very good at that game. It's just beautiful to watch. It's like, that's what it's like.
Hey, there's smart people doing their jobs, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. In the best way.
Truly brilliant.
Okay, Tim, you put this in the notes here, and I don't know anything about Archer because I don't watch Archer, but you're saying there's a new series. Yeah, I don't. Same. I'm sorry.
Me neither. No
idea. New series coming out on April 25th. Is this a new season or a new show?
No, this is a new season. Archer, the last few seasons, has basically gotten to theming and naming in accordance with their themes what the next season is. So this one, Danger Island, is coming out, as you mentioned, April 25th, FXX. Really excited about this. I'm a huge Archer fan. I've actually been a little bummed about the last couple of seasons, so I am hoping that this one kind of redeems itself. The tough thing here that I think really changed a lot for Archer was when originally the agency, this like spy agency that Archer was centered around, was called ISIS. And so when the international terrorist group ISIS really came to have a lot of popularity, the producers of Archer said, okay, we think we're going to stop using that name on our show because it's bad. And so they had to obviously write a reason for that. And what they wrote into it was essentially a shutting down of the agency. So they stopped being a spy agency, which kind of gutted the show. And then they had to figure out different things for a group of spies that didn't work for a cohesive spy agency to do. And so, the last couple of seasons were just a little rough, as they've kind of been finding their new footing. I'm really hoping, though, that Danger Island pans out. It seems toward the end of the last season, they started to get there a little bit. And we'll see what happens. But I'm excited about it because I really still love this show. I think it's a very clever show. I love the voice actors who were involved in it. I love the, even though you've had different themes and such, you've had some really interesting progression of the characters. And it's just a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. You know, you guys heard that Kevin Smith had a heart attack, right?
Yeah. A
couple days ago.
Yeah. Which I mean, obviously it's a horrible thing. And yeah. Fortunately, it seems it was caught early enough. He was in the hospital. He tweeted the next morning from the hospital about what happened. He actually looked pretty darn good for being in the hospital. And even though he was connected to a lot of things,
which makes you look even more, you know, worse than you really are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I got to say also, I mean, it's not a huge surprise when you think about it. He's a big guy. He's involved in a lot of things. So, you know, he did different productions and that kind of stuff. So the guy is probably high stress. He's moving constantly from one thing to the next. He's not eating right. He's not working out, that kind of stuff. And any one of us can fall victim to that. So I'm not casting anything disparaging at Kevin Smith.
Certainly.
I love his work. I think he's a really great personality. He's a funny guy, at least from all the stuff that I've seen of him and heard about him. And that is one thing. And I actually posted in Discord later that day that, hey, look, this is kind of a good wake up for all of us to really be reflecting on our own lifestyles and our own health and our own fitness. And we need to be able to do better. We need to make those conscious decisions to be, you know, eating better and getting out and being active and just making those positive lifestyle decisions, which I'm sure he is probably going to do now. He's a young guy. So he is probably going to start making some very different lifestyle decisions. And I hope, you know, particularly given his popularity and his celebrity status, that he communicates these out to his fans, because a lot of times that's one of those things that will get people to make changes themselves is when they see other people do it and it becomes an inspiration. So hopefully it will give cause for some other folks to become a little more fit and a little more healthy.
Definitely.
And obviously we all wish him very well in his recovery with this.
Yeah, 100%. Let's see. Disney is donating some money. I think this all stems from some Black Panther stuff, right, Lizzie? Lizzie, you must be happy about this, right? So Disney's donating.
I'm so excited about this.
This is a great story. I mean, Disney's donating $1 million to the Boys and Girls Clubs of America for new STEM centers. And yes. It's all inspired by what happened at the end of Black Panther, really, I guess, right? Yeah. I mean, that's where this all came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Shuri and her whole, you know, being the Q of the situation and making, you know, being the technologically driven person of the movie and everybody being so inspired by that. Yeah, I love it. I love it so much. I think it's wonderful to see the impact of the movie extend into our real world. And because we can achieve so much of the dreams that we come up with, you know, we may not be able to fly ourselves yet, but you know, it just takes someone to, I don't know, think of something and be able to have the money and the inspiration behind it and be able to have somebody say, believe in what you can do. And
exactly. I mean there's so many kids that don't have all the same chances that everyone else does throughout the world, right. And to have them start something like this, and especially, you know, not just in the whole thing of Boys and Girls Clubs, but really about this whole science, technology, engineering, and math stuff that the whole STEM centers are revolving around, makes it a huge thing. And I think it's just fantastic they're going to do this.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. And, you know, you never know what kind of change this amount of investment can make if it gets someone interested in something who can. And I know it's kind of cliche to say, but, you know, who knows? This may inspire some kid now who 20 or 30 years from now is going to find a cure for cancer or for something else, or is going to, you know, finally give Lou the flying car that he wants, or you know, whatever it is. It's you just don't know what this can lead to. And I will tell you, when I read this article, I actually teared up. When I read it, because like, this is a big deal, and for Disney to do this, it's $1 million. It is not a lot for a big company like that, but it's still significant.
Oh, definitely.
And I think it's still going to have a lot of impact to Boys and Girls Clubs, which are, you know, essentially community centers. And it, this is great seed money for them to build these STEM centers to do something like this and inspire kids to get into these career fields. And I think it's great. And seriously, I truly did tear up when I read this because it was just so unexpected. And I love where they drew their inspiration from. And it was just great to hear that they did this. So
I also think
kudos to Disney.
This is Disney putting its money where its mouth is, because it talks about, you know, dream the impossible dream, be all you can be sort of message, the fairy tale fantasy maker that they've put themselves up as. Well, how are you allowing those things to be real for people? How are you bringing that to fruition in real life and actually putting money and backing behind that you think anything is possible? Mm-hmm. That fairy tales are real and that we can all be living our dreams. That's great mm-hmm. that you have a big company where you can make a cartoon about it, but how are you actually allowing people to live that? And so this is them putting money where their mouth is, and who knows where this could lead, like Tim was saying, and I just love it. I love it. More of this from big companies, please. That is what I want to see.
Definitely.
This kind of, you know, social responsibility stuff that we see from companies is real important. And, you know, I mean, I've mentioned on the show before, I'm a small business owner, and I do a lot of disaster related stuff. And that's something that we make as part of what we do with our company is making donations to disaster relief organizations and such, because it's what we believe in and it makes a difference. And I just think it's great for companies to do that kind of stuff. It's really important.
Yeah. Word.
Let's see here. Oh, Keanu Reeves. New superhero boyfriend. Film? Everybody's a boyfriend for you, Lizzie. Come on. You can't claim everybody.
No. Wow. Not everybody is a boyfriend.
You just made that sound really, really bad.
Well, I didn't mean it to sound really, really bad. Just a little bit bad.
It didn't sound bad. Okay, not everybody is a boyfriend, but everybody that I want to be a boyfriend is a boyfriend. That's what it is.
Okay. So she's selective about it.
Well, yeah, I didn't say I'll they're say not all husband. I'm not, you know, like, I don't live in Utah.
Oh yeah, I'll say this. I do like me some Keanu too, but you know, hey, anyway.
Exactly. Boyfriend for Lou, guys.
There you go. Boyfriend for Lou.
Lou's man crush.
Hey, I get a man crush occasionally. Yeah. Let's see. Netflix is possibly going to hire him for a new superhero flick.
I will watch that.
I have never heard of this series, so they're saying he's going to be starring in something called Past Midnight.
I don't know what that is, but I want to watch it.
Okay, I just didn't know if either one of you guys had any experience with that. Is it a comic book? Is it?
I'm trying to scan through
the article.
Quickly. It is. I do know, it is not like Marvel or DC. Right. So it is nothing that is necessarily mainstream. But I think basically they are taking advantage of Keanu's kind of renewed popularity with
The John Wick stuff brought him back, yeah, right?
Thank you, with John Wick.
Squarespace ads.
Anybody who can ride a motorcycle like that down the desert highway, whoever it is, that's impressive.
You know, those get my heart. I love those things.
And obviously, you know, as Netflix looks to continue growing and expanding, which, oh gosh, you know what I didn't put in the show notes was Netflix, like, had some incredible stock market thing occur this week.
Really?
Like mad money.
You have failed the city, Tim.
I know I have. But I mean, you know, really incredible for Netflix. I mean, they're showing up all the time, and they've had some things that have fallen a little flat, but they're constantly putting things out. And, you know, Wayne Gretzky said many, many years ago,
love this quote, if it's where you're going, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you basically, oh gosh, what exactly was the quote now?
I don't know exactly, but it was something about you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Exactly. Actually, that was it. So you miss 100% of the shots you don't make. Netflix is taking shots. They are taking shots on the net constantly. And so you are bound to get some winners as you go in and you make this happen. So
it is Christmas prince.
Yeah, that was at least a hit with Liz. So kudos to you.
It's a hit with a lot of people on Twitter, by the way.
Yeah, so an article on Screen Rant here from today, she says Netflix hit an all-time high in the stock market, pushing the total worth of the company to over $130 billion. The service has gone from the ads came up here. The strength over the years, helping to shape the way TV and film fans consume media. After all, they're doing the right things. You're right, Tim. They're making the moves to make them profitable.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time talking when they were spending so much money and people were wondering, are these guys going to come out the other side profitable in making money? But that's yet to be determined.
The answer
is yes. Well, I mean, they haven't posted profits yet, I don't think, but they're getting there.
They are definitely making some money.
Yeah, they are.
Awesome.
So it's certainly happening.
Did you guys watch the original Bad Boys TV series, but was it back in the 90s?
It was a TV series?
Oh, the movie. I'm sorry. But I was thinking.
Oh, I was like, I've seen the movies, but I didn't know about the TV series. Duh.
I was trying to read it. I can't read and talk at the same time. You know that. Come on.
Only one thing at a time for you, Lou.
I know. So we are getting a Bad Boys TV series. The pilot's been ordered.
Yep, for NBC. I'm really excited about this. And you know, unfortunately, they're still kicking around a Bad Boys 3. We don't know if it's going to happen or not.
What? Ow.
See, yeah, I never watched the movies. Are the movies, they hold up well now? Should I go back and watch them?
Oh, my gosh.
I love the first one so much.
Yeah, but does it hold up now, though, Lizzie? I mean, that's a thing. If I see it now.
I have not watched it. In a couple years, in a long time, but
they absolutely hold up.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, and while I like the first one, I love the second one. I thought the second one was absolutely hilarious.
I think I've seen the first one more, so maybe I need to watch the second one again.
Yeah, the second one's really good and pertinent to this TV offshoot. That may happen here. The
no spoilers. Lou hasn't seen it.
Yeah, don't tell me so-and-so dies in the first one.
They're back on Earth.
That's right.
Lou, they go to outer space in the second one. Now they're going to come back to Earth in the Hey, we should do a movie rampage about it and make Lou watch it and have him be a guest on the show.
We should. Boy. We absolutely
should. That'd be fine.
The last time I was forced to watch a movie for a podcast, it was Team America. And I was like, oh, my Lord.
My dad quotes that stupid movie all the time.
But you think it's stupid?
I think it's so weird and stupid.
No, thank you. I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
It's the weirdest, stupidest movie. My dad loves it. He quotes it all the time. Why are you quoting that dumb movie to me again?
So for this Bad Boys, potential Bad Boys spinoff TV series, for those of you who have seen it, Martin Lawrence's sister or his character's sister, Sid, which was played by Gabrielle Union, who did girlfriend. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. See?
She signed on to be in this TV series. She's reprising her role. As Sid, and she will be working together with, who was it? Jessica Alba.
I love it. Dark Angel.
Yeah, so Jessica Alba is going to be returning to
TV with this. Was she in Bad Boys movies?
No, she
was not. She is a new character.
So, Dark Angel.
I know where she's from. I know she did that too. I was like, I'm going to go back and watch them now if she was in that.
But Lou, she's from Dark Angel.
Yeah, I know. I love that show.
Sid's character in Bad Boys 2 was a DEA agent. And as the plot that they described here for this pilot, Sid moves to L.A. and she gets a job as a detective with LAPD. And it ends up working with, apparently her partner is a character played by Jessica Alba. And so it's related to it. I don't think that we're going to be seeing you know, Martin Lawrence or Will Smith appear in the TV series, probably because they can't afford them.
Probably.
But I think you could see Martin Lawrence. What's he doing right now? Probably. I mean, he's a big star, but like he could be in it. What is he doing?
He's get probably waiting here. For Bad Boys 3 to get signed.
Look at that. We could have a Martin Lawrence-essence.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
So I think it could be a lot of fun. We'll see what happens. It's ordered to pilot, so there's no guarantee of it. You know, of course, they'll shoot a pilot and they'll see what the viewing results are. And
I wish it was on Netflix. I like Netflix better for shows that I want to watch and like get into because it gives them more of a chance.
Yeah.
Netflix gives the show a longer chance.
Yeah, I think Netflix, because obviously there's not competition for airtime.
Yeah, they're not beholden to the
system. Willing to take chances. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked briefly before about Ready Player One coming out pretty soon, and a website now has some of the games from the movie playable online. Mm-hmm. You guys want to play Joust again and kind of go through that? Yeah, huh?
I used to love playing Joust.
I wasn't very good at it, but I love that game.
I don't think anyone was good at it. We played it. I mean, this is like, you know, back in the day video game. It's just where they're just kind of squared out blobs on the screen, you know.
But back in the day, they looked pretty cool, though. You got to admit, back in the day, you're like, oh, my God, this is odd. And then next game came out, there's a little bit better graphics, and you're going, oh, my God, can you imagine how good these are getting? It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what they're doing, let's see, how many games they have? Joust, Root Beer Tapper. Oh, not Root Beer Tapper. I like Tapper. Tapper had the real beers coming out, not Root Beer Tapper.
For the kids, Lou.
I know, but the real game was Tapper. I mean,
for the children, Sprite Tapper.
I wish that you could play Adventure online. That was the game in the book where they find talk about the first Easter egg on video games. And I remember finding the Easter egg when I was a kid. I remember reading about how you found it, and I had to follow the directions step by step because I couldn't find it on my own, obviously, but. I mean, it was such a cool thing. It was like, this is awesome. It's a secret room. It's like no one knows about this but me and 100 people online that, or 100 people in the world that wrote letters in, I guess, you know, because back before the online thing.
Sure.
Sorry. Yeah. But but no, this is pretty cool. They're putting these games out there again so you can play them. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah. If you go to, so I've not visited their website until now. If you go to jointhequest.io, what is the IO extension?
They probably couldn't afford a .com maybe. And
uh-oh.
So yeah, you go to jointhequest.io and it's kind of neat. So they have the links in there for the games that you can play. And there are things that are kind of about the movie. So as you scroll down, you can see, I think you see some imagery from the movie and what is presumably probably trailers. I'm not clicking on them, but you also see some things that are kind of in universe things. So right up front, you see basically the newspaper article about Halliday's death, which is pretty neat. And it's headlined up on top called The Grail Diary, which if you've read the book, that's really kind of the main reference document that they keep going back to. So I'm going to have to poke around a little bit in this website and see what kind of cool stuff is
to play with here. Yeah, and you know, it's funny because this makes me feel like, oh, good, they're doing the book justice. And we were talking about this briefly before we started recording tonight, that there was a video posted in one of our Discord channels about this, and somebody had picked apart the second trailer. I mean, down to like, you know, what characters are in the background and what this means and what this could mean to the movie and how they're going to be presenting the story to us in movie format.
And see, I don't like that at all. Like, settle down.
Well, you know, first I watched it because I was thinking to myself, okay, they're going to show me all the Easter eggs in the background, like characters that are in the background of these scenes. And like, okay, that's kind of cool.
I don't like that either.
Well, see, but he's going into detail about, like, you know, the very opening scene, you know, that race scene that they show in the trailers, and we're all going, where's the car chase in the book?
Because
I don't remember that, you know. It's like, okay, well, they're going to make some differences, and I understand they have to make things different in the movie versus the book, but you know, not dramatically, because like in that car race scene, he pauses it and you can see up in the side, like on the scrolling marquee on the sides of the track, it says race to win the copper key. And I'm like, that's not how you get the copper key. Wait a minute. What? No.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so it seems like they're taking a lot of different steps in this movie versus what the book was. And that's starting to worry me quite a bit. Because I want it, I know it's not going to be exactly the same as the book, but I want it to be the same story at least, not totally different.
It's not going to be.
It's not going to be totally different, or it's not going to be the same?
No, it's not going to be the same.
Oh, thanks, Lizzie. I thought you were trying to console me there for a minute.
Oh, no, I don't need a trailer breakdown to know that.
I mean, can you guys actually keep it down and playing Joust right now?
Tim, stop.
Focus.
Focus on what we're
doing. We're supposed to keep this to an hour.
Tim, is it multiplayer? Because I'll play
no.
it. No, okay.
No, I don't think it is.
But, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, the other thing that bothers me about the trailer, and it's something that I picked up on before I saw somebody else's, you know, frame-by-frame dissection of it, it seems like there's a lot more in the real world in the movie than was in the book.
Yeah, like the point of the movie is the real world, not the Oasis.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
It almost feels like that too much, and people are now thinking there's going to be some resistance movement against the whole, you know, corporate IOI thing, which, no, it's not the way it was. I don't know.
You got to put the book aside, but also I don't think don't have high hopes that it's going to be a great movie. I mean, I hope it is. I just don't think
it's going to be. I hope it's a great movie on its own, aside from the whole book thing. But
yeah, it's not going to be, but I hope it is.
I'm bummed we're not getting the story as it was told in the book, because the story in the book is very well done, I think. So
It's wonderful. And it is bad. It's weird that they can't. I I understand having to change some things from book to movie.
Certainly.
I do understand that, but I think.
Oh, I think we lost Liz.
We lost Lizzie. Sorry about that, folks. Oh, she's back.
There she is.
You totally cut out there, Lizzie.
I know. I saw you guys freeze and I was like, never mind. what I'm saying is I understand when a book and a movie have to be different occasionally, but I don't understand when the core story that the book is trying to tell changed so drastically in the movie that you don't even recognize it as the thing that you resonated with in the first place.
I want it to be recognizable.
Right. Like there are things in Harry Potter that were changed from the books to the movies, but I knew J.K. Rowling was a part of the process. And so part of it is like, if an author is part of the process, then they're okay with the changes. Then that sort of makes me feel like I'm okay with the changes. And I can understand like having to change things for time, you know, having to take things out of like an inner monologue and put it outside so that you know what they're talking about. But like, I don't know, when like a core purpose of the book is altered, I'm like, nah, why make it at all? Like, let's all just read the book.
I mean, Ernie Cline worked on this, though.
I know.
He worked on the screenplay. I mean,
there you go. Then maybe it is. Maybe it's what he wants it to be. I think it's interesting. It gives an author a second chance at their own work to tell a different version of the same story, which I think can be really interesting. An interesting thing for an author to get to do with the story that came out of their own brain, you know? So, I mean, from that perspective, I think that's sort of a cool thing for an author get to do. But
sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say the trailer doesn't, it's not we're doing it for me. I'm like, this is not, I don't know. I hope it's good. What were you going to say?
I'm also looking through some of the cast and crew now on IMDb, and I'm like, I don't recognize some of these character names. It's like they're like listed towards the top, and like Hannah John Kamen, who's been in a bunch of the trailers. She's pretty prominent in the movie. I'm like, her name is F. Nail Zandor. I'm like, I don't recognize that from the book. It's like, did I miss that? I mean, I read the book a bunch of times.
I read it once a year. So if anybody would recognize the name, it's you.
Exactly.
I'm just like, okay, well.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes for doing well, and I don't have high hopes for being a great movie, but I hope it exceeds my expectations.
Well, even if it's not a great movie, I hope it does really well because I have it in the movie draft.
Oh, then I definitely hope it
has to do with okay. So Tim, you posted a thing in here about the $6 billion man, and I've heard this kicked around like for the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years now. And Mark Wahlberg's been attached to it, but is this really going to happen, Tim?
It looks like it's going to happen now. The property was actually owned by the now infamous Weinstein Company.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. It has since been, yeah, it has since been bought out by Warner Brothers, who now has rights to do it. Wahlberg will be starring in it, and it is now set for a May 2019 release. So they are moving forward with it.
Interesting.
For a May 2019 release, they darn well better start filming shortly.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, I don't know. Do we need this movie? I mean, we talk about remakes all the time. No. I mean, I don't know
that anyone's clamoring for it. I think it was a great TV series. The series had a lot of notoriety to it. It was fairly prominent for the time that it was as the $6 million man. Of course, inflation sucks. So, you know, we have increased this
serious
now.
Inflation.
We have increased this now by a magnitude.
Well, they probably couldn't do a hip replacement for $6 million. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, that's where they're at with it. And I guess, you know, with current tech and stuff, they could do some neat things, but they could have done it just as fine in the age of, you know, Terminator 2. I don't know. I don't know that anyone's been clamoring for this. It'll be interesting to see what kind of story they tell, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I like the original. I mean, the original is really, really bad if you go back and watch the episodes, because it's like, who shot this? Who was director of photography? I mean, it's almost unwatchable. It really, and I'm thinking to myself, TV wasn't all this bad back in the 70s. Why does this look so bad? But I'm like, it is really, really bad.
Yeah.
Almost unwatchable. And I liked this explanation when I was a kid, but it's almost unwatchable.
Mm-hmm. I think it's comically bad, though. It's like funny to a point.
Yeah.
You're like, you can laugh about it while you watch it.
Yeah, I suppose.
It kind of has a kitschiness to it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I don't know. It's, you know, I take it back. Well, I started recording on my DVR because I had, I really wanted to see the two Venus Probe episodes, or okay. Death Probe and Return of Death Probe. And they're awesome episodes, but because I like the story. But the editing, I mean, you could do better stuff with your camcorder. It's like, oh my gosh, is this bad? I mean, just. I don't know. I didn't think TV was that bad back in the 70s, production-wise.
Cool. Question, Lou. Do you still have a camcorder, since you said we can do better things with our camcorders?
Okay, well, I probably do in the back somewhere. I haven't used it in years, but I can do better on my phone. Okay, fine. I mean,
Lou still has a camcorder. To the young kids out there that don't even know what one is.
Lizzie, we're going to have to talk after this episode's over about your future with the network.
I already won because you said the word camcorder.
Whatever.
This is a trouble.
Okay. So speaking of the Weinstein Company, no, they're going through some, legal issues right now.
And, what?
Not anymore.
Well, yeah, true. They've solved the legal issues by selling, right?
Yeah. There is a woman-led group. I guess the partners in this group, the majority of them are women, which is great. It's kind of a very meaningful thing that this group has actually bought out the Weinstein Company.
Bam.
My guess is that they will probably change the name of it.
Hopefully.
You think so? I would certainly hope so. There are obviously some number of properties that are still owned or that Weinstein still has license to, which they get to take over and now make their own. So I think it's a great new direction for the company, which unfortunately has this kind of tainted legacy to it.
Yeah.
And but hopefully they get to make something good from it.
Well, you know, the nice thing is, I mean, they were heading down the road of bankruptcy pretty quickly and we're going to be gone. To have these guys there, have these women step in, purchase them, keep the company going, hopefully with some major changes. But, you know, you change the name of the studio and I think the bad connotations of what the Weinstein Company had with it kind of go away. I'm not saying they should be hidden, but you know, it's a new company. Let's start from scratch again. Let's keep these people employed, because not everybody that worked there was an evil person.
No, and I'm sure, exactly. There were plenty of great people, talented people that worked there that really supported that company and made it what it was. But they obviously needed to remove the leadership. They need to change the corporate culture. And a big part of that also is also changing the name giving them a new direction. So this is hopefully an exciting thing for the folks who are still there with the company.
Right.
But I think it's less about rewriting the legacy of the Weinstein Company and the birth of a new legacy out of the ashes of Phoenix will rise kind of concept, you know. And, you know.
Exactly. I mean, let the Weinstein Company die and go away. And like you said, Lizzie, let the Phoenix rise. It says the deal here will save 150 jobs, protect small businesses owed money by the Weinstein Company, and create fund to compensate victims of sexual harassment and abuse. Awesome. So they're doing a lot of great things with this, I think. And it's great they can step in and do this and not take the prejudice of, I want them to go down in flames and that's it. But thinking beyond that and saying, okay, look, people that are here are real people. We need to, what can we do with this and make this right?
Yeah.
It's better than just shutting down the system. It's reparation. It's fixing what was wrong. It's going in and taking the extra mile, because you can easily just shut something bad down. Yeah. Well, not easily, but you can shut something bad down and move on and say, let's move on from that. Let's not look at it. But to actually go the next step and say, how can we actually right the wrong and make something beautiful out of something horrible? And P.S., women who bought this company, I just would like to submit my Phoenix idea as your company name. I'm just thinking
I thought you were going to say your resume there for a minute. It's a bit my resume.
Also, here is my resume, and also my first act as your new company person is to name your company Phoenix.
There you go.
Phoenix Rising. Oh,
there you go.
Okay, we will win so hard.
Now, if this company gets named Phoenix Rising in a couple of weeks, Lizzie's going to be really upset.
No, I'm going to be happy. I don't care. I don't need any kickbacks. I just like to see my ideas put in action. That's all. That's the only thing I need, Lou.
There you go. So now, one last story before we get out of here this week.
7 years later.
Yeah. Well, I scratched my head because there was already a spinoff I stopped watching from the show that I've stopped watching the show. In the beginning,
be a what were they thinking, though?
This is almost what they were thinking.
Could be. I mean, so Walking Dead is looking at doing another spinoff.
No.
What season are we in now? The Walking Dead? I stopped watching right after the whole Negan thing happened, and I'm like, okay.
Me too. I stopped then too, Lou.
It wasn't because of that scene. It was just because the series didn't move forward for me. I'm like, there's no growth.
It was because of that scene.
Well, no,
for me.
And then they opened up with the Fear of the Walking Dead, right? That was the one out in California. And I'm like, okay. And at first I thought, oh, great. They're going to talk about that time period of when it first started showing up to when the civilization just fell apart. I'm like, good. I want to know that story. And that lasted like 3 episodes. And then they're back to doing the same thing that the other Walking Dead series does.
Except for at the beginning where we discussed how it's interminable to watch a group of people do the same thing we watched 7 years ago, because the people we watch now are already through that thing.
Yep.
Well, the interesting thing about Fear was that the timeline of Fear of the Walking Dead started earlier than where the Walking Dead did. So they really started more toward the beginning of the infection.
Right.
Right. But they didn't do a great job with it.
Yeah, and it was interesting, and there were some interesting concepts.
But that really, like, after the episodes. First
season.
Right, but Lou's right. They already introduced the virus so quickly in the series that it didn't even feel like a precursor.
Yeah, yeah. So after the first season of Fear, I really lost interest in it and stopped watching it. What they're saying here in the article is, while it is unknown what they may have planned for the franchise, there are other possibilities of stories to tell, which there certainly are.
The whole world is under zombie virus.
Yes, exactly. And so I don't begrudge them those possibilities, but it just seems that there is so much potential for them to simply get repetitive and just get pulled into the same story. I mean, they mention in here, oh, hey, we could, you know, they haven't focused on major cities, so they could go to D.C. or New York, or they could go global and have it set in other countries. Sure. But it's the same premise.
Right. It's the exact same show with different characters.
Yeah. And I've mentioned before, the thing that I like most about Walking Dead, and I like the zombie genre. What I think Walking Dead did brilliantly, particularly in the earlier seasons, was that it really wasn't about zombies. It had very little to do with them. The zombies were a context. They were a persistent environmental adversary. The show is really a study in sociology. You know, how would people react given the full and total apocalyptic breakdown of government and infrastructure and laws, and how would they survive and what would they do, and what kind of, you know, where would their morals go? And it showed that moral flexibility and all that kind of stuff. Incredible study of sociology. And if there are sociology professors out there who are not referencing The Walking Dead, they are freaking wrong, because you need to connect to contemporary things when you're teaching. And I think that's what its strength is. Unfortunately, they're caught up in plot lines now that are really just, even within The Walking Dead itself, just that show, they're kind of continuing to be repetitive.
Well, it is difficult to strike a new tone in a zombie show as a spinoff of the other mm-hmm. zombie show that you already have. So the concept mm-hmm. of the start of the virus was a great risk to take. The fact that it didn't really flesh out, or it just felt like a redux. It felt like relearning all the things our characters that we care about for 7 years already learned. The thing I like about doing it in another country or another culture, think about Africa having to go through that. What does that mean for these, for a different way of life? Now that is interesting to me. And I wouldn't mind seeing a person relearn how to kill a zombie, because their life is completely different than living in a city. Whereas when you go from Atlanta to California, there's differences in lifestyle, but it's still America. It's not that different.
I wonder though that if something done in another country would be too much of a disconnect for the American audience, which obviously is the number one viewer. So
right, and that probably would be a problem for them. But I mean, my problem is there's just different stories to tell within this whole zombie world. And I'm not a huge zombie fan, but I do like the genre. Mm-hmm. I like it when it's told differently. I mean, I love the book World War Z. I didn't see the movie, but I love the
love
book.
Love that book.
And the story
don't
is
even
told,
bother with the movie. The book is freaking incredible. The movie sucks.
I mean, the book has so many different stories, and there was two volumes to it, too. There's a second volume, I think, that came out. Or if it was just
I did not read a second volume.
I'm not sure if it was just an audiobook or not. Maybe it was just an audiobook mm-hmm. add-on for more stories, but it was more of the same. And it was cool to hear different, how different societies and different groups interacted with this whole zombie apocalypse thing. And they can do
that
with
book
this.
Is so good.
And that's what I thought Fear the Walking Dead was going to be. It was going to be a longer series taking place in that time frame between when the virus first hit and then what we saw at the beginning of season one of The Walking Dead. Yeah. I want to see how society falls apart. I want to see what happened to the government. Why did things get shut down? Mm-hmm. And you can't tell me that there is no there's no government anywhere in existence. There's no, group exactly. of people that are living, that are running a quote unquote normal life somewhere out there in a zombie infestation, sure. because there is, they just haven't found it yet. But having these guys do the same thing all the time, killing a zombie. Oh, this might be a cool place to live. And then find out, no, it's not. And then it's like,
Yeah.
We need something it's different.
The storylines are very cyclic, and quite honestly, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. It's
right.
Like every day is survival. And okay, sure, the first few seasons do that because you can still add in enough variety to keep it interesting.
Right.
But at this point, they need to, even if they're not necessarily telegraphing the end of the series, there has to be some kind of hope and there needs to be some kind of goal that they're striving toward, because otherwise it's just, this is endless and we're all going to die eventually. There's no freaking way out of it.
But not only die, but have become the worst version of yourself possible in the process, because the whole play on words of being the Walking Dead, they're all becoming dead inside because of the things they have to do in this world. So there's not even any hope within themselves of like being a better person. I back to what Lou was saying about politics and like governmental structure within the midst of a zombie apocalypse. I feel like a series set in Washington, D.C. amidst like, you know, like what if it's like the West Wing meets the Walking Dead? Like you see the political, right? But then all of a sudden it starts to take a turn and you see the progression of it affecting governmental structures for the whole country. Like that's interesting to me.
I don't
know. And that's something that you could really play around with.
And I like that, but I think that a lot of these types of things, I wouldn't want to see more than maybe two or three seasons of. Then I'd be
done. Well, yeah, this is what they needed to do, is cut Walking Dead off at like five and then have what don't simultaneously do it, because we're not going to watch both. What you need to do is have five bangarang seasons of Walking Dead that are awesome and story driven, end them, then go back and tell the story at the beginning of how it happened and have two, three seasons of that, and do it in like series, like British, the way British do series instead of like seasons, because then you cap it. It's like, this is the story you're telling, allow it to end. And then if you move the series to like, what if the whole of a Walking Dead was each season was in a different place, like World War Z, you see a different culture, like that would be amazing.
It's basically like vignettes.
Right.
And, yeah, but it would all connect, like, because you'd see like the president on the television as it's going down when the zombie apocalypse started. But then you'd be in the Washington, D.C. one to see how it actually happened there. Then you'd go to like a rural town that really isn't affected by politics because they're out in the country. And you could see how it all fit together for more of a national sweeping virus, rather than we've spent 8 years with these people that now we like have to watch because we've known them this long, but we also really can't stand because they've turned into horrible people. Like that's how people feel about The Walking Dead.
Right. Right.
And they hang on because they know the characters so well. That's how I feel about it. I'll still watch to the end, but like, I'm like, these people are horrible.
Yeah, I don't so much mind them being horrible, because that's kind of what you'd think people would devolve into, but it's one a different story. And what got us onto this topic was is a story on Screen Rant about how Scott Gimple, the showrunner for The Walking Dead, and I think he's also for Fear the Walking Dead also, wants to do more shows, and they talk about all these different ideas they have. And the thing that worries me, and if I can get back to the end of the article, it does mention that they're they might have decades worth of show ideas. I'm like, oh no, not decades worth of the same stuff. It just that would not be a good thing. It's either way, Gimple clearly has big plans for what's to come. AMC reportedly wants The Walking Dead to keep on shuffling for decades.
I'm like, oh dear God. No. Why? Shuffling is the right word. It is shuffling through life. Please cut its head off like a zombie.
Exactly, yeah. give it a good headshot and we'll move on from there.
Or hire me to do my national zombie virus idea, which is obviously amazing, then we'll fix this thing.
Okay.
I've got a lot of jobs out there right now, you guys.
You do. You got a lot of resumes being put out.
Very busy.
I hope something pans out for you, Lizzie. we'll see. Now, does anybody have a What Were They Thinking Weekly beyond the whole More Walking Dead thing and the $6 Billion Man thing?
No, I think that was
I
it.
I don't know.
That was it. Okay.
But real-time news happening. The Mary Poppins Returns trailer came out during the Oscars, so we'll have to watch it. And it just landed like 20 minutes ago or something. So it will be out when the people listen to this, and we'll have to watch and play catch up because it just landed.
Sounds good.
Like Mary Poppins with her umbrella landing. Get it?
Yes, we get it.
Did you get what I was doing there with the play on words?
I did. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure it didn't go over your head.
No, thanks.
Like Mary Poppins flying over your head.
I know it's a smooth surface on top of our heads, Lizzie, but, you know, we did catch that. Okay, well, we had some feedback scheduled for tonight, but we're already running an hour and a half, so we're going to cut the feedback from this episode and try to do it in the next one. But don't feel bad if you haven't heard from us yet, but we will be getting to some of the emails that we've been receiving.
We're very excited about that.
Exactly. No, it's fun to do listener feedback. We should probably do a show on just listener feedback. That's what we usually have to do. We keep putting it off until we have so much built up that we do just one show on just feedback. So that might be fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of feedback, if you want to get a question to us or get some just information about what we've talked about, send us an email. Do that by sending it to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. That does go to all three of the hosts.
And you can find us online at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. For any immediate concerns, questions, or thoughts, you can hit us up on Twitter at Random Chatter for the whole network, at Lou Secchi, that's LouSecki, you both were so still, I thought I froze. I looked up and you both were not moving at all. I was like, oh, no, I froze. I'll wait. Okay, hey, Tim, really, really good at playing statues.
Hey, Tim, just stand still.
That's exactly what it looked like. You guys are freaking me out. Okay, back to what I was saying before I was so rudely not interrupted by any motion whatsoever. At Random Chat, I don't know where I was. At Lou Secchi. And then at Qui-Gon Tim, that's Tim with two. I'm so thrown off now. It's so weird. Okay. At Qui-Gon Tim, that's Tim with two M's. And then I'm at Nerd in the City. Come chat us up on Twitter. And you can also find us at Random Chatter on Instagram. And I'm at Nerd in the City on Instagram. And the only one that's different on Instagram is Tim. He's not himself. He's not. On Instagram. Otherwise, you can come find us there.
That's right. And you can also find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. Probably a good place to keep up with some of the changes that we have going on. When we announce new shows, we have stuff up there. It's great to certainly get your podcast from iTunes or wherever it is that you listen to them. But you can also listen to them right up on the website. We may have some additional notes up there that we throw in the website. We have polls. We have blogs. We have all sorts of good things. So check us out at randomchatter.com. You kind of get the full picture of what's going on at the network.
And of course, you'd love it if you spread the word about the shows and your love of us and all things we do. Leave us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher. Just give us more than just a star rating. Give us some words. Give us some text about what you like about the show. And of course, tell your friends about us too. That does help us out as well.
And certainly money is also a big help for us. Just like any organization, we have expenses. We have web hosting fees, data storage fees. We have some organizational fees. So as we are kind of restructuring some things here at Random Chatter, we have some of those expenses as well, which are kind of administrative types of things that we are currently working on right now to better organize ourselves so we can utilize your donations better. And to better directly affect the shows that we have going on out there and make sure that we get good stuff to you. So helping us out, you can do that through Patreon. You can go to randomchatter.com/Patreon. You can donate as little as $1 a month to us, which doesn't seem like much, but it is still a great help. It's basically the concept of crowdsourcing. So your $12 a year will go pull together with the $12 a year of a bunch of other people, and that makes a big difference. Of course, you can contribute more. You can do 2, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20. If you want to, throw us $100,000 a year, or even just one-time donation, we're totally good with that. I will personally send Lou to you to shake your hand. You can rub his bald head. We bald guys like that. And, he does. And Lou will teach you how to bowl too. That's our perk. That is our, well, not even $100,000. We'll make that the $10,000 perk. Is you get a personal private bowling lesson with Lou.
Is someone keeping track of all of these extra perks he comes up with on the fly?
It's recorded. People can go back and figure it out. It's there somewhere. It's not like I have a master spreadsheet that I keep track of these things and come up with crazy. No, I don't do that. No, not at all.
Gosh, you have a master spreadsheet, don't you?
One of the great things that we are doing with Patreon is having an online community. This is something we used to do through Slack. We have, as you have probably heard a couple months ago, switched over to Discord. And the kind of the neat thing about Discord is that you can sample us and kind of see if you like that whole online community experience. To do so, you can go to randomtrader.com/discord. That will get you into our public lobby, and you get to interact with us and with other hosts, as well as a lot of fans and listeners, and kind of some general discussion. But there's also a lot of discussion that takes place outside of that public lobby that happens in certain rooms that are specific to our different shows or different topics like TV or food or pets or Star Wars or whatever. There's like a gazillion of them. We have new rooms almost every day. That we have in there. And in order to access those, this is kind of where it goes back to Patreon. Just $1 a month to Patreon gets you that access into Discord to see all those different rooms and be able to interact and have conversations in them. It is a lot of fun. Please check us out. We appreciate all your donations. Thank you very much.
And the music you hear on Random Chatter is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening. That brings us to the end of another fascinating episode. Glad you guys stuck with us the whole time, and we will come back at you in another week.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.